From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, February 1st. Coming up, the first story in a four-part series on how people with disabilities are faring during the COVID-19 pandemic. We'll hear from an arts and entertainment reporter who's visually impaired in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois Congressman Adam Kinzinger says he's launching an effort to repair the GOP from within. Hannah Meisel has more.
Kinzinger's new project is called Country First and is funded by one of his own campaign accounts. The congressman is seeking like-minded Republicans who want to reclaim the party from far-right elements he believes has infiltrated the GOP in recent years. In a video introducing the project Sunday, Kinzinger put it this way.
Republicans must say enough is enough. It's time to unplug the outrage machine, reject the politics of personality, and cast aside the conspiracy theories and the rage. It's time to turn back from the edge of darkness and return to the ideals that have long been our guiding light.
Kinzinger was one of 10 Republicans who joined with Democrats to impeach Trump for a second time last month after extremists supporting the former president staged an insurrection at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. But Kinzinger is facing possible censure from the Illinois Republican Party for his vote. I'm Hannah Meisel.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture has finalized the rules for growing industrial hemp this year. That means farmers in Illinois and other states can get ready for the planting season. Dale Ludwig of the Missouri-based Midwest Hemp Association says the rules are fair and will help producers continue to try out the alternative crop.
We look forward to continuing to grow this industry, which, it's just really new. So there's there'll be a lot of progress made in the next 5 years.
The final rules include a longer time frame to harvest, easier disposal of bad crops, and more leniency in violations. Ludwig says right now the biggest market for hemp is for the supplement CBD. He says Midwest farmers won't be able to really see a big benefit in growing hemp until it's more widely used as a fiber in clothes and other products. Tonight, the Urbana City Council discusses a resolution recognizing the city's history of structural racism and pledging a commitment to racial equity. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
The resolution outlines some of the main points of racism's history in Urbana, from slavery in the early 19th century to a large Ku Klux Klan chapter in the 1920s to systematic housing discrimination after World War II. Sponsor Cherise Hersey is the daughter of Urbana's first black city council member, Paul Hersey Sr.
We were just as integral in the development and the building of Urbana as anybody else, and we're still not treated fairly. And I just want to make it plain.
The resolution pledges that the city of Urbana will use all methods and methodologies in the pursuit of racial equity in the future. Mayor Diane Marlin says the resolution could play a role as council members work on revising Urbana's comprehensive plan. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
Since University of Illinois students began returning 2 weeks ago, there have been nearly 300 COVID-19 cases linked to the Urbana campus. This is less than half the number of cases identified by this time in the previous semester. The biggest change in testing protocols between the fall and spring semesters was the requirement that students arriving back quarantine until receiving two negative tests. And as of yesterday, about 13% of Champaign County residents had received the first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, and just over 2% had been fully vaccinated. Still to come, the first in a four-part series from Side Effects Public Media, featuring the personal stories of people with disabilities and how they're faring during the pandemic. That's next on 217 Today.
The COVID-19 pandemic has disrupted our educational systems with long-lasting consequences. I'm Lee Gaines, education reporter for Illinois Newsroom. I'm diving deep into the issues that matter to students, teachers, and families, shining a light on problems and looking for solutions. Hear what I uncover next on AM 580 and FM 90.9, or look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The pandemic has hammered the nation's economy. And for people with disabilities who often have trouble finding jobs, COVID has been devastating. Side Effects Public Media, through its Move to Include project, asked them about working and living with a disability in the biggest public health crisis of our time. We'll offer their personal stories over the next 4 days.
My name is Seth Johnson. I work currently as a journalist in the city of Indianapolis and have for about the past 7 years. This week, the things I'm writing about: a new coffee shop that's opening up, a guy in Indianapolis who runs his own record label. I also am covering the Pacers. I have been visually impaired since the age of 5. My visual impairment was caused by a brain tumor, which damaged my optic nerve, and that damage left me mostly blind in my right eye, and then I have about 2400 in my left eye. A lot of times after my eyes get tired from working on an article, I will have my computer read back the story to me.
Comedian Benji Brown reflects on life back out on the road.
It helps me to catch typos in my story. The reason I wanted to be a journalist goes as far back to when I was in high school, and I knew that I enjoyed writing. There was something about showing other perspectives of the world to the broader public. I often have felt that I'm misunderstood. I'm in the entertainment world and in the nightlife world. And a lot of times I think people see me looking at things closely or see me putting things close to my face to see them because I'm visually impaired. And they often assume that there's like issues with me. Sometimes they assume that I'm just drunk. Sometimes they assume that I have a mental issue. I've been a part of like those judgments so many times. And a lot of it probably comes with the territory of me writing about the topics that I write about. And a lot of those topics are typically around nightlife and alcohol. But like so often, those people judge me in that way. And it can be really frustrating for me. I would say the pandemic has impacted my life, put so much of what I normally write about on halt. I've had to completely kind of go back to square one and look at my skill set and use it to do other things. A lot of part-time jobs that others would maybe pick up when times like this are slow, those part-time jobs are kind of things that I can't really do because of my visual impairment, whether it be like working in a kitchen or working at a cash register, driving Uber. I've had to really pivot with the skill set that I know I have in order to kind of fill in the gaps of what I would normally would be doing and what I normally would be making. I'm hopeful that I can get back to having my steady slate of reporting on what I had been reporting on prior to the pandemic, but then also, again, mixing in some of these things that I've learned how to do in the meantime, and some of these things that I've learned that I want to do more of, like reporting on people with disabilities or reporting on even like equality issues and those types of things that have come up during this time. I'm still realizing now that there are a lot of perspectives that I was leaving out or not looking hard enough for. Yeah, going forward, I would like to see myself in a position where I'm continuing to do the journalism work that I'm doing while taking parts of what I had been doing before and mixing that with what I've now learned I need to do more of.
That was Seth Johnson in an audio diary produced by Colleen Pellisier. Our series continues tomorrow as part of the Move to Include initiative, which focuses on people with disabilities. It's funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says after yesterday's snow, we'll see mostly cloudy skies today with a high of 32 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Jonathan All, Jim Meadows, and Colleen Pellisier. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.